Welcome to the Arise Ministries podcast, where we exist to equip and encourage followers of Christ, teach God's word, share the gospel of Jesus, and leave a legacy of our Father's love. I'm Lisa Da Silva, and today is our final interview with Rose Spears. If you haven't had a chance to listen to part one and two of Rose's story, you can find them on our website or on iTunes at Arise Ministries Collective. We hope you are as inspired as we are when you hear the rest of Rose's incredible testimony.
I sat there like right now, sobbing, crying, looking back about my life. And that day I told God, I said, okay, I was still praying like, if you're out there, you know, I don't really understand this whole thing, but help me. I believe in you. Mm. I know you have forgiven my sin, and I want to follow you. Mm. I want to be the child of Christ. I want to be a follower of God. And I want you to take me to where I needed to be in order for me to grow. And I prayed that prayer that, you know, that I wasn't going to worry. I wasn't going to be anxious about my siblings, because I think what's been in my mind as a 13-year-old is our future. Mm-hmm. I was so consumed about my mind, about where the direction of where we're gonna be. And I know that the orphanage is not a permanent place for us. I know there is something else. I just didn't know what it was. And so I just, you know, I just keep praying that God would just change me and make me a new person. But anyways, I was probably sitting in that chair for 2 hours just crying. And all the guy can remember, all these little kids from the orphanage were running to me because, are you okay? Yeah. Are you okay? And I'm sitting there like, yes, just leave me alone for now. I just need time. And some of the kids who have accepted Christ in their orphanage before me, they're like, she just accepted Jesus into her heart. And I'm thinking, okay, what does that mean? I just feel like at that moment on, that 2 hours is, I just spend my time just getting to know who God, my creator, just thinking there, just pondering, and all the scriptures that I learned from that one, I'm like, oh, now that makes sense to me. Now everything made sense to me. I can't believe I did it backwards. But, you know, being in that moment, I just wanted to just follow Christ, and that I started to pray. I prayed more, and my prayer became more authentic, mm-hmm. and become more sincere. Mm-hmm. I just prayed like that God is right in front of me, and physically, you know. But I was so mad that he took away my parents. I was so mad. I was so like, but why, you know, but why did you kill my parents? If you are this loving God, if you are this kind of God, why did you do this to my parents? And I would tell God, well, look what happened to my brothers and sisters now. My brother and sisters and I, what are we going to do? One day, the executive director of the orphanage, he asked me to come to his office. And I said, okay, now you don't go to the office unless you're in trouble. And so he asked me to go to the office, and then we talked. And so he pretty much just said, you know, do you remember a friend, Jessica, Kira, Sean? And I'm like, no, I remember Jessica, but not Kira, not Sean. Little did I know that there is a family in Olympia, Washington. Who this man, he had been struggling. He had been given a vision. He had no idea what it was. So he moved his family to Roseburg, Oregon, to have a farm, to raise some sheep, because he loves farming. So this man, he was once a lawyer, and he decided he didn't want to do that. He's tired of lying for people. No, not really, but... And then he decided, I don't want to do that, so I want to become a farmer. And so he raised some sheep in Roseburg, and one day they all died. One of them got sick, they all died. They had put all their money into this investment, right? They have invested their money into the sheep, so having a sheep farm. And they all died. And so I could, they gave them a few more years, and then they did it again. And then they all died. And but he keeps having this vision. He didn't know what it was. But he just thought, sheeps, because he's, you know, he loves to farm. And in his vision, he's seeing, just like Joseph, he's seeing different kinds of movements, a lot of little things, you know, and he just thought, being a sheep farmer.
Those were all the little movements.
The little movements. And so he just kind of, okay. But they all died. And then he tried again, all and died. And died. My mom's like, we got to figure out something. We're losing our money investing in this thing and nothing's working. So they moved to Issaquah, like north of Seattle, and then and then he worked at a bank as a broker, you know, and then that didn't work out really. So now they moved back to Olympia, and then they moved to Olympia. They found this church in Olympia. It's called, the name of the church was Westwood Baptist Church. So they started attending the church, and then one day so there was a missionary. So this couple named Ray and Burke Phyllis, Ray and Phyllis Burks, they've been a missionary back and forth. They go to this church at Westwood Baptist Church, and they've been a missionary back and forth from the Philippines, from Cebu, back to the U.S. They manage a Baptist guest house in the orphanage closer to the, in Cebu City, closer to the orphanage. So they become connected with the orphanage, and he loves to take pictures. And so he keeps going to the orphanage and keeps taking pictures of all of us, of everybody, of all the kids. And so one day when he came home for his furlough, he loves to share about his work in the orphanage from the Philippines. So he came. So one day he and his senior class, they had a show. He put together a little video about his work at the Baptist guest house. So in this video, they invited everybody from the church if they want to come attend and see the video. And so my parents went. Anyways, they're watching the video, and my dad, he just fell in love with what he saw on the video. He came home one day and told everybody, like, they had a biological daughter, Jessica and Kira, and then they adopted a little boy from Korea, Sean. And so one day at the dinner table, he told the family, you know, what do you think of the video that you saw? And they're just kind of, as a kid, there were kids then, they're like, you know, that was good, you know. You know, my dad's kind of, okay. And so one day he approached my mom and said, what do you think about adopting those 7 kids? And my mom's like, you're crazy. We have 2. We have 1. We adopted. I'm good. You know, we're good with that. And my dad's like, okay. But he's really still struggling, and he's really having this vision. And I think I heard my mom told my dad one day, they said, like, no, you're 40, 45 or something, and you're adopting the 7 kids, and you don't even know what to do with your life. Because he keeps changing jobs. It's like, are you
and the sheep keep and dying. The sheep,
and then what are you, you know, and adopting 7 kids? You're crazy. What are you going to do next, you know? And so, anyways, my dad was like, I'm just going to be praying whatever that is, you know, whatever God has for me, I'm just gonna keep praying. But he keeps praying, and I'm sure, looking back, I'm sure his prayer was probably like, God, please change my wife's heart.
How often do we do that?
Yeah. And so so one day my mom went up to my dad and said, do you know about those 7 kids? We should find out more about them. And so my dad's like, yes, you know. And so right away, my dad's like, I'm not gonna take my time. I'm just gonna, you know, we should find out more about them, you know, and we should probably adopt them, and we should probably, you know, get more information. Are they okay? Are they still there? You know, all this stuff's going on. And while all of this are happening, Jessica, their older daughter, and I, we became pen pals. My sister and their daughter Kira were pen pals. They were writing each other, and my brother Sean, their son Sean, and my brother Felix, they were also writing each other. I mean, no one had a clue.
No one had a clue.
When my mom showed her interest of adopting us, they talked to my grandparents, my mom's side of the family, my mom's parents, and they said, we'd like to adopt 7 kids from the Philippines. And my mom, my grandma's like, you're crazy. Nope, we're not supporting. We're not going to support that. You are crazy. That's got to be really hard to bring 7 kids from the Philippines who doesn't know the language. And you're crazy. Pretty much the whole family told them they're crazy. But they just keep praying about it. They just keep praying about it. You know, if that's what really God wants them to do, that he will make a way. So one day, my grandparents talked to my parents and said, you know what? If that's where God wants you, if that's what God wants you to do, then we'll support you 100%.
Wow.
So right away, my dad's like, sweet, let's go ahead and get this going, right? And so that's when, one day, the executive at the orphanage came to me and
talked to me. So now we're going back to you being taken into the office.
So he called me after school. I'm like, what did I do today? I didn't get into trouble. You know, I hope I didn't do anything bad. And so anyways, he talked to me. He said, remember your pen pals? You remember you've been writing to this girl, Jessica, and your sister's been writing a letter to your friend, to her friend, Kira, and your brother with Sean, and how, you know, how they've been writing to each other back and forth, all of you. And they were like, yeah. I'm like, well, I want you to know that they want to adopt you guys. And I'm like, all 7 of us, you know? And I was just like, I mean, I don't know. The feeling of hearing that word, it was beyond it was beyond. Words couldn't express. But then, you know, you have doubts. You doubt, you have mixed feelings. I am always thinking, what if they're not nice people? What if they adopt us and not take care of us and just abandon us and just put us into, you know, some prostitution or something? I don't know. And so I was just like, I have all these doubts. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't get too excited. But then Mitch, we call him Uncle Mitch. He was the executive. And he said that, this was in July. Okay, this was in July when they told me. And then,
how old were you?
I was 14.
14.
I was 15. I was 15. Because my uncle said, once you turn 16, the Philippine government will not allow you to be adopted and leave the country. And we're trying to have you guys be adopted together. And so the church in Olympia, my parents go to, the church I go to, they are praying like crazy right now. They're starting to process the paperwork. And we have July. And so we all had to go to Manila, which is, you know, one of the big cities. Get all our medical stuff done and make sure we all pass. Because if one of us don't pass, then it's going to take a longer time.
And so you had never met this family. You still hadn't met these parents. And you've been told by the executive director, this has to go fast within a certain timeline, or Rose, the rest of your siblings can go, but you have to stay in the Philippines.
Exactly.
So you're all in this big city getting all of your paperwork done. And so you go back and wait?
We wait. We were in the city for a week.
Oh, wow.
Just to get all the medical checkup, everything, all the examinations needs to be all done. Everything has to be come out clear, you know, from TV to whatever, vaccines, make sure everything is complete. So So we got there and we got, you know, and then we went back to Cebu. And when everything was all cleared, that's when my parents could move on the paperwork. And so everything was cleared. And but, you know, the waiting, the waiting process, to make long story short, everyone's praying. And I didn't know this. But, you know, you look back thinking, God planned all of this out. He knew, you know, from the very beginning. He knew what was going to happen, but I didn't know. I didn't know what it meant to trust. Mm-hmm. But God knows my heart. And that's the cool thing about it, because He knows where I came from. He knows I was broken. He knew that I was born with this. And I knows, He know, He just knows all about me, all about us. And despite of me complaining, arguing, blaming Him for everything, and just being so mad at Him, being so angry at Him for taking away my parents, you know, only if he would have told me that, hang on, and I've got something great for you, then it would be so much easier, right? But He kept me waiting. He just kept me wondering. He just let me complain. I got so angry at myself for complaining, you know. So all of this, my uncle said, we need to get this paperwork done. Because usually to adopt a child takes this long, 2 years, 6 years, depending on the paperwork. But for all seven of you, this is going to have to take a miracle. Now, everyone's praying. The whole world, he pretty much just said the whole world has to pray, you know, to make all of this happen. So I was nervous. I just have different mixed feelings about this whole thing. And I was scared. And I was so scared. But at the same time, you know, I had just became a Christian. And what is God doing to us? However, I had been praying that God would find us a family, you know. And so I had been praying that the orphanage has been a wonderful place for us. But I want to have a place to call home. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like the orphanage was a home for us. And I wanted somebody who would, if we were to get adopted, I wanted someone who would love us and that would treat us like their own. And I didn't care any of those wealth. I didn't care any of that. All I want is for us to have a home that it's safe and is a Christ-centered home. Mm. And I wanted my parents to be good Christian parents. And that's all I wanted. And I wanted them to just, I don't know, to just show the love of Christ and help us grow in our faith. That's all I wanted. So all of this, so, you know, we were praying. So I prayed a lot. I told my brothers and sisters, we need to pray. Because if this is not right for us, if they're not, because at this time they're being interviewed, their home are being inspected here in Olympia. If this is not the right home for you, that God would close the door. And everyone was praying like that. And so, anyways, June, July, August, and by sometimes in August or early September, I can't remember the time frame, all the paperwork was cleared and approved.
In two and a half months.
At least 2.5 months. My parents went to the Philippines and met us there, and they stayed with us for a week to just kind of getting to know them. They're trying to get to know us, and we're trying to get to know them, and they're just kind of hanging out with us there for a week. And then my birthday is October 5th, and we had to get back to Olympia to be naturalized. That was the most important piece, because the paperwork had to be all completed because
before you turned 16. Mm-hmm.
So I was cleared from the Philippine government because I wasn't 16 yet. And so I'm in America now, right? So I'm all good. But then September 12th, we went to court in Olympia. And we all became naturalized September 12th of 1991. Wow. And September 12th, October 5th, I turned 16.
That must have been a party.
That was a party. And it was just, I don't know. I wish, you know, people was there. I just wish people could have witnessed just the celebration.
The miracle.
The miracle that I just felt like one of God's greatest miracles, mm-hmm. you know. And so I just feel like I wish everyone was there to, like, to share that, you know. I remember my parents being contacted by the news in Seattle to meet us at the airport. My parents said, no, this is between us, our family, and God. We don't want, you know, my parents were like, we want to honor God. We want to glorify God because this is all God's doing. And I'm so glad that that didn't happen that way. And so, yeah, so I turned 16 and I'm here in the U.S. and I, with my brothers and sisters, I am with my new family. Oh. And, you know, it was a big adjustment, huge adjustment for all of us in this one. The fact that the whole church that my parents went to put together, they totally, like, remodeled my parents' house all for free just so we can be all in this home and we can all have our own beds, have our own, you know, we share bedrooms, but, you know, we have our own bed. And so they did all of that all for free.
Oh, wow.
And they totally, so, you know, the whole church coming together and praying, and they even had a party for us. They even had a cake for us, you know. And I just remember that verse in James that never leave the child an orphan. Mm-hmm. And that verse, that just spoke to me. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that verse until then. No, yeah. You know, I didn't know. Well, yeah, that's right. I was an orphan, you know.
Yeah, it's the last verse in James chapter 1. Yeah. That is our responsibility, yeah, to care for orphans and widows.
Though I was, you know, we're in the state, and I'm growing in my faith. Mm. Not the easy way, the hard way. Looking back, I'm just so grateful that God put me through that. Mm-hmm. I just can't remember that verse in Isaiah that talks about that God will never leave you in deep waters. Mm-hmm. You know, he's always going to pull you out of there. I just feel like I was at the very, very bottom of that ocean. And I just feel like he just pulled me out of there slowly, gently, and forming me, you know, into a new person. Like, he just formed my character. He is building me. And I didn't know all of that until I became mature in my faith. And he is, you know, step by step, he is showing me, even through today, he is showing me that I've rescued you on that pit. And I did all of this for you. Don't tell me I can't do anything anymore, you know. I will continue to show you who I am in your life. Mm-hmm. And so every time, you know, I stumble into things, he says, you know, he always reminds me that I'm here for you. And so just the fact that everybody came together to help my whole family was a miracle. The adoption process was a miracle. All of this, I didn't know until, you know, we got here to the state when I'm still growing and in my faith, and God is reminding me, I was there with you in that boat. So, you know, he said, I was there with you. I, you know, I watch you. I keep you guys safe in that boat. And when you made this decision, whether to go to the other orphanage or to that orphanage, I was there with you. You didn't know me then, but I knew you, you know. And so, you know, the fact that, you know, I introduced you to that little girl in the orphanage, so that would help you connect, you know, to where I want you to be, to go. Because, you know, and looking back, I kept thinking, okay, once God put you into a comfortable place, he removes you because he wants to show you some new things. Mm. He wants to give you that excitement. He wants to take you to this adventure in life. And he wants you to, because he knows it's the only way that would help you grow. As stubborn as I am, as a mean person as I was, seriously, when I was a little kid, I would steal things from people. And just so, you know, I'm part of it too, because we were so poor. And I was very ornery. I still do, kinda. But you know, all of those God helped me. Mm. He helped me. He developed me to be a woman of God. And he developed me to be to have all this character, you know. So now I see, looking back, the puzzle has been put together. And I love that how he brought so many people into my life. I mean, I could not have done all the journey if he did not, if he never brought all this Christian men and women in my life. And he showed me in a gentle way and a loving way, yeah, that, you know, all this woman, all this people that came alongside me, that they were the trail, you know, that I had to kind of look up and follow. Because if I don't, you know, my life was going to go somewhere else. But because of these people that he brought into my life, I look up to them and I admire their faith. And I just had to be willing to be teachable and listen. And look, I'm all crying. And so, you know, it's hard for me to share my life, my journey. You know, all of us have a testimony in our life. Doesn't matter how God brought, whether God brought you here and there. You know, my testimony is a testimony of God. This is all God's doing. And this is how God formed me. This is how he brought me. And he is showing me who he is. And because I responded to that in a stubborn way, because I, you know, I chose to follow him, because seriously, that day I accepted him into my heart, the day I accepted Christ into my heart, that day I said to him, I will never turn back. I will never turn back from you. I will follow you for the rest of my life. And that's why I have my verse, Joshua 1:9, is to be strong and courageous. You know, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's been my life verse since the day I became a Christian. Whenever I run into things, that verse just always says, remember, do not be afraid. I've been with you and I will also be with you. Because when I got to the U.S., going to school here was the most difficult thing, I think. None of my credits was transferred. And so I had to learn how to study here. Because back then, in the Philippines, it seems like you learn things by memorizing things. You don't really apply it, you memorize it. So here, I remember taking the U.S. history class. Aww. I should have been the U.S. history. I should be in the kids' history. But anyways, you have to memorize the map. And you have supposed to put, you look at the map and you're supposed to put the names of the cities or the town, you know, where the dot into the dots, you know. I just thought you memorized the whole thing from 1 to 20. I got him all memorized and I just like, I thought that's how you do it. I got an F on my first history. Just like, what the heck?
But I, Rose, we study the Bible together. You and I. Every Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
We take a precept class together. This is an incredible story. I had only heard bits and pieces of it before. It's an incredible story of God's faithfulness. And Rose, it's also a story of your faithfulness to God. And your willingness to continue trusting him, even in adversity. And I know that you are no longer just the memorizer who failed your first history test.
Because never forget that.
I watch you study and I sit beside you and we are learning and growing together in the Word of God. And you are an inspiration to me.
Thank you.
And I hope that people who... Now, people can't see us, but we really are cozied under blankets. We've shared tears in this conversation. I've been just listening, enamored and enthralled by your story and how at the end of it all, you give glory to the God who so gently took you out of the pit. And so thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. And I hope as listeners that your lives will be changed the way mine has been changed because of God's incredible story
mm-hmm. through Rose. Mm-hmm.
And I hope too, if you're listening, that, you know, I hope that you be patient with mm-hmm. God. Like, I wasn't patient with him, and I became an angry person. But, you know, I learned now that being patient with your faith, with your journey, even if you don't get the answer right now, just know that he's there. Mm-hmm. You know, he is listening. He heard you. He knows your plans since the day mm-hmm. you were born, you know. And so I think just being patient and mm-hmm. and don't give up. And just, you know, if I would have given up a long time ago, I don't know where this journey would have taken mm-hmm. me. I promised to God that this is, you know, no matter what gonna happen, what's gonna happen, that I was gonna follow him. Mm-hmm. My life wasn't perfect. My life was never gonna be perfect. And on my journey with God, there's so many ups and downs. But all God always brings me back, and he always reminds me that, you know, he is there. I think what helped me too is being in the Word, reading scriptures, mm-hmm. and that always reminds me that, you know, that his Word is true and strong, and that nothing else could take that away from me, mm. Not even Satan. There's times that I've been tempted. There's times that I want to do things, especially when I went to college. But I knew that mm-hmm. God captured my heart. Mm-hmm. God got a hold of me and said, I'm not going to give you up to Satan, because you belong to me. I've been working with you. I've been with you throughout this journey. And all I had to do is to be obedient. So many times I would wake up in the morning, I'm like, Lord, I don't know what you have for me today, but just help me to be obedient, you know, no matter what that is. Because it's so easy for me, like now being a mom, to just get so distracted and put things aside, especially my, you know, devotional life, mm-hmm. not being in the Word.
The most important thing.
It's the most important thing. That's like my, you know, just like being in the army. You got to be prepared mm-hmm. because you are the front line of Christ. And when you are in that front line, you got to be prepared to fire back.
Amen.
And so I want my story is God's story. And I want people out there who are listening not to become a Christian because you heard my story. I want you to make this to be an inspiration. I want this story to inspire them and make it their own. Mm. That way they have their own testimony and be able to share that to others. Mm. That's there's more to it, but well,
there is more to it. I know we could sit here and I could listen to you forever. I do want our listeners to know, Rose, that you are now a grown married woman. Mm-hmm. You have two children. How old are they?
Corella is 14 and Kai is 10.
14 and 10. And Rose, tell us briefly how you are stepping out in obedience, hopefully. I know these are just some initial plans. But can you tell us a little bit about what God is asking you to do next in your life?
I think what I've been praying about that. It's so easy to just be comfortable with my life. Now I'm here and God has blessed me so much. I am overwhelmed with his blessing each day. Not just having, you know, from having healthy kids to a husband who is very supportive. And, you know, my life, I feel like my life is, I have it easy now. So I'm praying. This is just, I'm a risk taker. And so I'm praying that way back, I dream of having 10 kids. but now I have two, but I'm thinking, okay, maybe I don't want to have any more kids. Two is good. But I really want to be a woman of God who continue to dig in the Word. Mm. That's my number one priority right now in my life, is be in the Word, study His Word, be a student of God, and pray for opportunity. Mm-hmm. That whatever opportunity that it's right in front of me, that I would not pass that. That I will take that opportunity, because who knows? I don't know if that, you know, you never know if when the opportunity is going to come again. So I'm always reminded by God that you take that every opportunity that's right in front of you, because if you don't, you're going to miss out. Mm. My passion is to work in the women's ministry. And, you know, and I just want to help other women grow. And I love going on a mission trip. And so hopefully as my kids get older, taking them into a little mission trip like next year. My plan next year is, you know, taking my kids back to the Philippines. They have never been. And so I want to take them there. Our plan right now, it's like a one-year plan, is going back to the Philippines and take them to the orphanage. So the orphanage is still there. They keep getting more and more kids. And but they need more support, you know, like prayers especially. And so we want to be able to go there and hopefully help the children in the Philippines. Mm. And to whatever we can do to help. Anything helps. But so that's after this summer. That's I'm going to be working on that. Putting a team together. You know, right now we have some therapists that are going. We have a medical doctor who is going. And so we might have a dentist and we might have an eye doctor, but they're kind of like, we'll see, you know. But it is a year away. And so they're still thinking about it.
But you might be taking your own children.
Yes.
Back to the place where you saw the hand of God. Mm-hmm. And we look forward to walking through that with you, to hearing about that how that goes. And Rose, you are a blessing to us.
Thank you. I hope I can, well, people bless me. God bless me so much that I feel like when you've been blessed much, that you should also give much.
Well,
so,
you do hopefully. Give much. And I wish you guys could see Rose. She's the littlest, cutest thing.
Oh my
when
gosh.
She laughs, her eyes just sparkle. She's so sweet. And maybe one day you'll get to sit with her on a couch like I am and have this incredible conversation. But we thank you for listening. We thank you for tuning in. And we hope that you also will be blessed by Rose's story.
Just be obedient and you will be blessed.
Amen, sister.
This concludes our final segment of Rose's story. We hope her incredible testimony of resilience through tragedy, response to the gospel, and God's unending faithfulness inspire you as you daily choose to follow Him and make His glory known. We hope you'll tune in next month, and be sure to subscribe to our website and podcasts at ariseministriescollective.org.